Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. It is Cheltenham Trials Day this weekend and our show is packed full of clues for Saturday and beyond. We're looking at the five live races from Cheltenham as well as those all-important clues for the Cheltenham Festival in March. That's 7 weeks to go. So we'll be asking the panel, is Constitution Hill a banker? Can Le Homme Press challenge Gallop and Deschamps in the Gold Cup? And will we find a challenger to the Irish banker, to Hoopoo, in the Stairs Hurdle? All those clues will be answered on the weekend, we think, possibly. Hopefully our panel will give us more of an insight. Stay tuned for that. As well as four live races from ITV. We had a 5-1 winner and a 14-1 winning nap on the show last week. So panel have some big price fancies at Donny as well. So plenty to look out for in the show. As always, do rate, review and subscribe. But above all else, do let us know what you fancy for the weekend. Loads of top quality racing to get involved with. So do let us know what you fancy. But start off, let's go straight to Cheltenham. It's our big meeting this weekend. Here in Cheltenham outside, we've had a little bit of rain so far. Ground is good to soft in places on the new course. Bit of rain expected for racing, but that's conditions as it stands as we record on Thursday afternoon. And we start with a 1:15, the JCB Triumph Trial, where we're hoping to see some more clues for the rival for Lulamba, who won so impressively at Ascot last week. Now 6-4 favourite for the Triumph Herder. We've got a favourite in East India Dock, who is a hot favourite, and 6-1 for the Triumph. He's our 8-11 favourite. Sauvignon 5-1, Stencil 9-1. Quantock Hills and Terrafina, of course, dead heated at Cheltenham's last meeting, 12-1. But what did the panel fancy? Let's start with you, Tom Park. Is this East India Dock going to put himself in the spotlight for the Cheltenham Festival?
Yeah, it's an intriguing race, isn't it? The Nichols horse and the one from Noel George's yard obviously both have form in France. We're not sure what they can do over in Britain yet. We've yet to see them on these shores. That adds a little bit of intrigue to the race. East India Dot was so impressive at the November meeting. And he's a really exciting horse. Obviously, they had a very good juvenile in Burdett Road last year. I got the impression after Cheltenham, just listening, that they didn't quite have him in that bracket. So he's going to have to prove that he's kind of improved again. And they obviously mentioned Lavender Hill Mob at the time, who they thought might have been better at that time. He's obviously not proven that to be the case. So there are a few little question marks about East India Dock. He was obviously so impressive at Cheltenham. I think the kind of point that he's got to make with regards to the Triumph is just going to prove that that wasn't any sort of fluke. I don't think the result was necessarily in question, but winning as far as he did might be up to some sort of question marks. I think he will probably win this. I think the market will be interesting. Stencil in particular brings some decent form from France. Was beaten at odds on last time, but I think connections are quite, they clearly think quite a lot of him. Obviously running in JP McManus's colours now as well. Interesting race, but I'm going to side with East India Dock. Whether I'll be going too hard, I don't think so. But excited to watch the race anyway.
Yeah, the bubble burst really for Burdett Road in this race 12 months ago. We sort of thought he was the big Triumph hope, and then a certain Sugino came along. So perhaps it will be all changed this time around. Are you with the odds-on favourite as well, Robbie?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to be, James. His form is miles clear of the rest. He was so impressive, like Parky said. In the Grade 2 at the November meeting, apologies, there's some digging going on downstairs. I don't know if you heard that. But the French horses, I mean, this Sauvignon that's debuting for Paul Nichols, he's been given a rating of 138 with a bitch, with the French authorities. Sorry, that looks too very much too high based on what he's done in France. I think he's got a bit to prove. And the same with the other Noel George horse, the French horse. I think it's quite a weak race, to be honest, and I'd be surprised if East India Dock didn't win quite comprehensively.
Yeah, well, more on the digging as we go along the show. That could be a running theme. We'll look forward to that. I've introduced Brett. Well done last week with a 14-1 winner, Uncle Bert. Hopefully you've got some more for us. Are you going to go with the odds on favourite in our first?
Yeah, a really interesting race, isn't it? You know, obviously East India Express very much sets the standard on the form we've seen so far. But, you know, he's plenty short enough in the bet. And as you'd expect, though, he's 5-6. He's actually 6-1 to win the Triumph Hurdle. But I just think it might be worth taking a chance on Sauvignon, who's trained by Paul Nicholls. He was actually declared to run against Lulamba at some Kempton early on in the season. Of course, that meeting was abandoned. So he's here today. You know, he's got some strong form, listed form from France over in Auteuil. That's pretty solid enough, you know. He handles soft ground, which is going to be quite testing, I think, at Cheltenham on Saturday. So in a race where we are super boosting every single one of the runners in that race, I think probably Sauvignon could be one to side with.
Okay, let's move on to the 150. The second race we're looking at from Cheltenham. This is the Betfair Exchange Handicap Chase, a competitive race here where we've got a few new faces added to that 2.5 mile handicap chase series we get at Cheltenham, including Grand National Hope Iroko. And he tops the market for this race, 100-30. Ginny's Destiny, it's been a bit of a disappointing season for him. He was hoped to be a King George horse at the start of the season, but it's not happened. He's 7-2 to get his season back on track. Imperial Saint for Richard Johnson Racing, who, of course, rode Wishful Thinking to win this race in 2014. Soul Icon, 15-2. Gemarand, 8-1. Mundo Orange, 9s. And Il Redoto, of course, winner of the Paddy Power Gold Cup at 10s. Let's start with you, Robbie. You've got a strong fancy for us here.
Oh, just a bit, mate. Yeah, really like Ginny's Destiny. I think he should be favourite over Iroko. Just thought it was interesting. Iroko, his whole campaign has been geared around the Grand National and a bit sort of like Iron Maximus last year for JP, sort of preserving his mark. I think he's a bit too short here. He's not shown amazing form this season. Like, I mean, he fell very early. It probably wasn't really his fault at Ascot when he fell. But, I mean, he probably should have beaten Trelawne. Trelawne's not exactly Frank Mack form since at Haydock. I just think Jenny's Destiny, off the same mark, he would have been very much aimed at this race. You can imagine Paul Nicholls has sort of picked it out a long time, ever since the Paddy Power Gold Cup, really. I mean, that didn't go to plan, but you know, Ginny's Destiny, he badly needed his first run last season and he came on bundles for it. We know he thrives over the course and distance. Wasn't a bad run at all, I didn't think, at Huntingdon behind Jello and Protectorat, who obviously won two in the third at least next time. Second time on a right-handed track. That's not really his bag. He's a sort of left-handed Cheltenham track. The ground's due to soften. He likes soft ground there. And I think he's going to bounce back here in some style there.
Yeah, of course, form is important at Cheltenham, Robbie, so I can see your point. Tom, are you with Ginny Cessna, Iroko, looking elsewhere?
Yeah, I'm not with the front two. I just think, look, they're the two shortest in the betting, and I think they've both got the most to prove on their form this season. As Robbie pointed out, I didn't think Iroko's first run of the season was a bad performance at first, but Trelawne hasn't really franked the form. We don't know what would have been last time he fell very early. He was obviously a promising horse from last season, but to be taking a short price about him in a competitive race like this, I think he's got a lot of questions to answer still. And likewise with Ginny's Destiny, like, I was happy to forgive him the run in the Paddy Power, but I wasn't impressed with his run next time. I appreciate that Protectorat and Jello have kind of franked that form at Windsor last week. But he was beaten a long way. And these front runners, that when they kind of lose that spark, he seems to kind of be travelling. He travelled really nicely through the Paddy Power and just emptied very, very quickly. Probably needed the run, but to stop that quickly was quite alarming. And I think he's one I would happily see win. But I won't be going anywhere near with my money this time. The one I like is Imperial Saint. I think he'd have been a really good thing if he'd have run in the race that's now been moved to the 12:40 earlier on the card. But I think connections are right to pitch him up in senior chases. Look, he's been really good this season. His only blip came at the Corrigal Cup meeting at Newbury. He's won three other starts. He looks like he's progressing still. I think he's right worth a shot at this. I think 144 is still well within his compass, given how impressive he was at Aintree last time. Providing he can kind of prove that he's going to act around Cheltenham. Obviously, his three wins this season all came at Aintree on the Mildmay course. But I think he's absolutely worth a go in this kind of company. And he's the one who's banging form. And I think the top two in the market have a couple of answers. Like, they've got some... They need to answer some questions, I think. So, yeah, Imperial Saint is my selection for this.
Yeah, and we'll come to you, Brett. You've got a money back offer for us.
The good news is if you back the second or the third in this 150 at Cheltenham, you will get your money back as cash, which hopefully will give you a good incentive to get involved in what's a really interesting handicap chase. I think it's quite noteworthy that Imperial Saint was given a few entries elsewhere on the card, notably in the novice. The fact that he's coming here against sort of seasoned handicappers, I think that's got to be a good tip in itself. But I think it does very much revolve around Oroco. And obviously we all saw what happened at Ascot last time when he was, you know, quite badly hampered and fell at the first. But before that, it was a solid effort at Haydock behind Trelawney, who ran well actually last week in the Peter Marsh. That's really good form. And I think sort of a stiff 2.5 suits the Ollie Greenall runner. So for me, Oroco, the previous Martin Pike winner, of course, gets an offer for me in that 150.
That was the 150 at Cheltenham. We've gone to the 225 at Cheltenham, where we're going to get some more of those Cheltenham clues. This is the Betfair Cotswold Chase. No winner of this race has followed up in the Gold Cup since Looks Like Trouble in 2000. Will we get one 25 years on? Well, Le Homme Press is the big favourite. Fourth in the Gold Cup last season, perhaps one of Britain's best hopes of stopping Galopin de Champs' hat-trick. He is our even money favourite here. Gentleman's Game, 9-4. Chantry House bounced back to his brilliant form and, of course, a winner of this race only 2 years ago, 7-1. Stage Star, 15-2. Delta Work, ridden by Sean Byrne for the first time at 22s. And Tommy Bow, 50-1. Hopefully no antics as we saw on the cross country. Tom, let's just start with Le Homme Press. He is possibly Britain's best hope of a Gold Cup. Britain really needs a big showing on Saturday from him if they're going to have any sort of say against Galopin de Champs. How would you rate his chances in March? And also, do you think he's going to win on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I put him up as a kind of selection against Galopin de Champs in a piece that I did last week. Yeah, I think he's got a really good chance in March. He's obviously 10 now, but he's lightly raced. He's had a few issues. Kind of keeping him fit is not being the easiest. There's two things in his favour, I think. But the main thing is, I think if there is a chink to Galopin de Champs' armour, and it's a massive question mark, it will come if the ground is good to soft or quicker, essentially. Like Galopin de Champs has proven himself in soft conditions to just be like brilliant. He obviously won last time on good to soft, so I'm not suggesting that he is going to be beaten if that ground comes up a bit quicker. But I do think his two Gold Cup wins have come on pretty soft ground, and potentially there is a chance there. Now, Le Homme Press, I think he acts on all ground. I think he probably is a little bit better with cutting, but I think if there is significant cut in the ground, he will go to the Ryanair. And so his best chance will probably be, if the ground is good to soft, or maybe soft in places, in a Gold Cup. He ran a stormer in the race last year. Like, he got struck into two out, and that may have played a big, like, it may have played a big part in his kind of finish, because he's never really showed a tendency to kind of duck a finish. I think stamina, while that's the first time that he's run over that far in the Gold Cup, like, I don't think stamina is an issue for him, and he just emptied quite quickly, which suggests to me that he potentially that striking into, I think it was the Gordon Elliott horse, I've forgotten the name off the top of my head, the one that finished second. I think he struck into him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got some engine. I'm a big fan of his. I thought he ran a perfectly respectable race in the King George. It was his first run of the season, and he just emptied. He doesn't really like going right-handed as much as left. I think he's got a fantastic record at Cheltenham. I think he'll win this on Saturday, absolutely no problem. And he's got to, I think, if he is going to be a serious Gold Cup contender, because I think if he was to be beaten in this, then it certainly would be the Ryanair.
He's not actually entered for that, mate, by the way.
All right. Okay. Great. Well,
he might be supplemented. I don't know if that was.
Yeah, I know the owner had mentioned, Andy, that if it was soft ground, that they might think. I think he's a Gold Cup horse. I think he's miles better than the opposition here. I would have feared Capodanno if he'd have ran, but he's not been declared. So I don't think there are any opposition, and you're getting a decent chunk of odds against here. I think he's a great bet. And yeah, hopefully he will win this and give Galopin de Champs something to think about in March.
Are you in the same camp, Robbie?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's tricky. I mean, when I had a good look at this race the other day and I was trying to find chinks in him because, I mean, Venetia Williams' horses aren't going brilliantly. I mean, she had four beaten favourites at Premier meetings last Saturday and a couple of them have just beaten outside. They didn't run anywhere near to form, like Raw Pagai, Martator. But, I mean, then as soon as I do that, she comes out and two from two at Leicester yesterday. So these things can change quickly. But I always think Venetia's horses are very good fresh. They don't always come on for it, even though I accept that, I mean, Lompress is going to be better suited to Cheltenham. He's always jumped out to his left a little bit. He's definitely the one to beat. I was interested in Capadonna at the start of the week. He's not been declared for Straightonly. It's not a race I want to get involved with because I do think Gentleman's Game's a good horse. That was an encouraging enough comeback around Galopin de Champ over Christmas. So it's a no better race for me, but I'd probably lean towards Lompress getting the £6.
Exactly. That's the one thing I thought as well. I mean, getting £6 for Gentleman's Game might just sweat in his favour. And Brett, is it a hat-trick for Lompress?
Well, it's an intriguing lineup, isn't it, James, for the Cotswold Chase, where we are price boosting the favourite in this race, which, of course, is Lompress, who, you know, he's done nothing wrong, really, has he, in a career for Venetia Williams. He is the highest rated in the contest, rated 163. He's 25-1 for the Gold Cup. And to be honest, if he wins this, we might shorten him a little bit. He's obviously got to step up considerably to trouble the likes of Galopin de Champ. But, you know, and whether this will have much of an impact on the Gold Cup is probably questionable. But does he really want sort of a 3.25-mile slog around Prestbury Park? That is my only sort of reservation about him. Unlike Dow to Work, of course, who was placed in the Grand National, a cross-country chase winner as well. He could be quite interesting. I think the race could be run to suit him. And then, of course, you've got Gentleman's Game, who's around 9-4 with Unibet. And he will definitely strip fitter for that run in the Savills Chase behind Galopin de Champ. And, of course, he brings some strong form to the race as well. He's around 40-1 for the Gold Cup and Gentleman's Game. But it's a really interesting race. As I said, we are price boosting the favourite in that race. But I'm going to take a little chance here on Gentleman's Game. I think he could improve that first run of the season.
Well, it might not have been a hat-trick for Lompress, but I've got half a feeling we might be on all the same camp for the Unibet Hurdle, the Grade 2, where we're going to see Constitution Hill, who at the current odds is 10-1 on to win on Saturday. He's the shortest price favourite in the Cheltenham Festival Anti-Post Markets. He's 1-10. I mean, let's start with you, Robbie. He's surely going to win on Saturday, yeah. Isn't he?
It's always nice to see him, isn't it? Even when he turns up in these very uncompetitive races. I mean, he's rated 175. The second highest rated horse is rated 146. There's no competition really. But I mean, it's good placing if your horse is up Brentford Hope, Fielded Aries, a 26 grand up for grabs a second. Yeah. You just want to see him come out and win really impressively as he should, just to sort of so we know for sure that he is as good as he used to be. I mean, I don't know whether he's going to come on from Kempton. He could well do. If he does, he'll win this by 30 lengths probably. You can't recommend him as a bet because he's going to be about 1-10, but it'll be fantastic to watch him in full flow.
Yeah, we'll just spin through the market then. It is 1-10 Constitution Hill, Brentford Hope 13-2. Of course, Johnny Burke getting his first ride in Paul O'Brien is at Doncaster. And Phyllis Dedary for Gordon Elliott, who trains one of his big rivals come March, hopefully, in Brighter Days Ahead, 25-1. Spirit Spays at 50. And Joy Machan at 66-1. Tom, I imagine you think he'll probably win on Saturday. Tell us if you don't. Is he an absolute banker in March, or do you see any chinks in his armour?
Yeah, I don't think he's a banker, no. I mean... It's difficult to say. It was brilliant to watch on Boxing Day. He bounced back in great style. The impression was that Lossie Mouth has run considerably under form. Interestingly, she got a better RPR for that than she did for Slam and Teopu on the start before. So it is open to debate just how underperformed she did. But I think she did, and I think she is a big, big challenger for him in March. I was quite keen on her on Boxing Day. Constitution Hill ran a brilliant race. It was great to see him winning. It's fantastic for racing. But he's going to have to improve again. Like, that's the first time that we've really seen him, bar when Sergino got him off the bridle on the gallops, that we've seen him just being kind of scrubbed just to kind of ease him into the bridle. And he won well enough in the end, but He's beaten Burdett Road. We're yet to see the ceiling on Burdett Road, I must add. Obviously won the Great Wood in decent style the start before. So it might look like good form if he was to go and win a big handicap somewhere. I just think he's a very, very short price for a race that could be a really, it could be a blockbuster race if the two mares turn up.
Yeah.
And Stateman might bounce back in Ireland as well. And then all of a sudden, you might have a four-runner affair of pretty decent horses. You're going to have the defending champion hurdler, an all-time champion hurdler, a mare that's produced one of the best performances we've seen in some time in Ireland, and Lossy Mouth, who I just think that they've had this race in mind for a long, long time. This has been the target. She ran a stinker. She was below par Christmas. She lost her race by the time they jumped the second hurdle. And I do think that that might have come at a good time, because I think next time Lossy Mouth runs, they'll be looking to jump her off a little bit more prominently so she doesn't get caught behind. I don't think she's short of speed at all. I mean, if you think this time last year when she was going into the mares, we were all questioning, does she have far too much speed for a race over 2.5 miles? That was the chink in her armour. I think she's got the speed. I think defeats are sometimes a good thing. And I think they'll jump off a good bit more prominently next time. And it will be a much closer and tighter affair going to the last. And then we'll really find out if Constitution Hill is anywhere near his best. He'll probably win the champion hurdle. He ran, in my opinion, maybe he's a stone below what his best was on Boxing Day. I don't think he can afford to do that again to Lossy Mouth.
Agreed. There's a lot of talk on social media that Lossy Mouth isn't turning up in this race. Obviously, it's disappointing not to see it on Saturday, but there is that sort of narrative, isn't it? Lossy Mouth going for revenge, Stateman back, brighter days ahead. If that all comes together in the champion hurdle, it, as you say, it could be an absolute epic. So maybe we just save it for March and look forward to it in 7 weeks' time. I'm not sure. Brett, Constitution Hill all the way?
Well, unfortunately, the clash we were all hoping for with Lossy Mouth and Constitution Hill has not materialised, but it's still great that Nicky Henderson, the master of Seven Barrows, has opted to run Constitution in the inaugural run-in of the Unibet Hurdle, of course, for which he is 10-1 on to claim success at Prestbury Park on Saturday. If you think he can go on and regain his championship hurdle crown, he's 4-6 to do so. This is a race where it's just a race, I think, to go look at Constitution in the parade ring, watch the race, and just sort of marvel at what a great athlete he is. We have got a few specials on this race, though. And I think this is actually not a bad bet, to be honest. If you think he'll win by over 12 lengths, we're offering even money. Bearing in mind he's £30 superior to his nearest rival, which I think is Brentford Hope. I mean, he should win this doing a handstand. So I think he'll win by over 12 lengths. Even money, not a bad price. If you think he can win by just up to and including 12 lengths, we are odds on. So our traders feel they'll just be just into 12 lengths, and that's 10 to 11. Another special as well with regards to the Henderson runners over the next couple of weeks. If you think Sir Gino can win the Arc, or Constitution Hill, the Unibet Champion Hurdle, and John Bond in the Champion Chase, we are 13-2 for all of those three horses to claim success at the festival. But as I said, Constitution Hill, I'd imagine there will be a few surprise looks on many faces if he doesn't come home in front.
Okay, so the final race from Cheltenham we'll be looking at is another one which should give us so much clues in that muddling world, which is the Stayers. This is the Betfair Cleve Hurdler Grade 2. Where will we see the main British challenger emerge? Crambo's 14-1 for that race in March. Strong Leader is 20-1. We'll see if the panel think they're contenders. But as far as Saturday is confirmed, let's have a spin through the market. Crambo is 2-1 favourite. Strong Leader, 5-2. Gal Road, who's ran the second, almost coming the second king. He's been a runner-up at all four Cheltenham meetings last this season. He's 9-2 to break that unfortunate run. Montmorel, 7-1, the Potemps winner, and Botox has at 12-1. We'll start with you, Robbie. Montmorel for you, isn't it?
Montmorel for me, yeah. I think, first of all, I think this is the most interesting race on the entire card. I was looking for opposition to the big two. Strong Leader, he ran no sort of race at Ascot whatsoever. It's a short enough price considering how poorly he ran there. And he's gone for wind surgery. I don't know, has wind surgery and a quick enough turnaround from that? I'd maybe be more interested in him if there was like another month or so. But interested to see how he gets on. I thought Crambo was flattered somewhat. Ascot, I know it was a very good training performance to get him to win first time out. But yeah, they didn't go very hard at all. And he was always up there. I thought a couple of horses shaped better than him that day. And he's yet to do it at Cheltenham. So I just thought Monmorel has got the best individual piece of Cheltenham form from last season, certainly recently. I know Strong Leaders for in this race last term, but Monmorel, he won the potential final really impressively. The time of that was around 6 seconds quicker than the stayers. He's got a lot of stamina about him, and he is closely matched with Strong Leader on the Mean at Newbury, where I don't think the race was particularly run to suit. I think he's a bit of a stayer's dark horse. I know he's got a bit to find on the official ratings, but he is promising. Just the way he won the attempts, I thought, was really impressive. And I'm sure Nichols will have this race in mind. And I think he's overpriced, frankly.
Interesting. And you mentioned a stayer's dark horse. Just on those two you mentioned, would either of those interest you in the stayers? Is Monmorel maybe the one you're looking at?
I'm looking for some opposition to Tiapu because I don't think he's... I don't know. I'm not sure he was operating quite the same. He wasn't winning everything last season. I'm not sure he's operating quite the same level as the previous campaign. What I do want to mention in this race as well is Kerry Hill, a big price, because he has been given lofty entries. I fancied him for that big Haydock handicap. He's obviously wasn't right. He's pulled up. He's gone for wind surgery, 2 months off. He's a big price, and he's a very impressive grade two winning novice hurdle last season. He's one I could see stepping up, but maybe you want to see a big run behind him. But I definitely looking for a big priced opposition to something in the stayers. I'd be considering Monmorel and Kerry Hill because I'm just not convinced about the big two.
And before, Tom, we go into the Cleve hurdle, just on the two, big question for you. I mean, many people think he's a little bit under the radar. He's not one of the odds on favourites, but he's a bit of a banker at the meeting. Do you stand that with him, or would you want to take him on?
I think it's difficult. I can see why he is the price he is. It's not something that I would be getting involved in. Anti-post, I can't see him going off that much shorter. At the festival, I'm assuming he's going straight there again. So it's only the others that are going to close on the betting on him. I don't think he'll go off much shorter than that. So he doesn't stand out as an anti-post bet. Whether I'd like to take these kind of prices on. I think Home by the Lee is a very interesting horse this season. Just the fact that he's travelling so much better in his races. Like he's always kind of been quite consistent, but he's like off the bridle half the way around in like your typical staying hurdle fashion. He's been a lot better this year in his races. So I think he's a big danger this time round. Appreciate he's getting on in age. And I quite like the Wall Park at a big price. Thought his run at Ascot was perfectly acceptable. And he was being dead impressive in handicaps at Cheltenham earlier in the season. Those are the two that I would probably be siding with in the stayers hurdle. In this, it's a little bit tricky. I agree with Robbie. I thought Crambo was a little bit flattered last time. I'd love a bet on Galro to finish second. What a race him v Mr. Coffee would be. That would be interesting. They'd probably dead heat, wouldn't they? I'm probably going to side with Strong Leader in this. I don't think I'll be having a bet. I just think it's worth putting a line through his last run. But he has got to prove himself on these kind of courses. But his third last year was a decent run. I just don't think it's the strongest of races, and he's the one who just stands out. The ratings probably have it absolutely spot on. He's 158. He is probably a couple of pounds better than Crambo, and like Monmorel would. I can get Robbie's angle with Monmorel. Transmission is an interesting entry. Not really for this, but Neil Mulholland has used this race in the past to prep for handicap chases at the festival. He ran the Druid's Nephew in this before going on to win the Ultima quite a few years ago now. But I think transmission is definitely one to keep an eye on for perhaps the Ultima, although he's going to struggle to get in. He's right on the cusp of where he'd get into that. But maybe something like the Kim Muir. Or the the Kimmy would probably be ideal for him. He obviously had Patrick on board him in November when he won. He's got some good Cheltenham form, but this very much looks like a stepping stone to something like that, perhaps to look after his mark. I thought that was interesting, just that Mulholland's got a bit of pedigree in doing that. I'll probably side with Strong Leader to win this race.
That transmission fact is very, very spot on the money, and it gets over the fact you've completely slandered Mr. Coffey. So apologies to any Mr. Coffey fans out there.
I love Mr. Coffey.
for that, but there we go. And finally, we'll come to you, Brett. What do you like here?
It's a really intriguing Cleve Hurdle, isn't it, James? I mean, I think you can make a case for quite a few of them, to be honest. And Strong Leader does bring some strong form to the race. Crambo, obviously, is the one they've all got to catch on what we saw last time at Ascot. We will be price boosting him in that race, so you will get some good odds for him. My only slight reservation with regards to Fergal O'Brien's runner is does he just tend to save his best performances for first time out? He does tend to go quite well fresh if you look at his previous form figures. Gower Road is obviously a model of consistency. He hasn't won for a long time. He's actually last won back at Ascot in 2022, I think, over fences. But he was a good second behind Lucky Place last time in the Raoul Keel. And I think the step up in trip may just suit him as well. But at a slightly bigger price, I think Kerry Hill could be really interesting here. Won the River Don actually on this weekend last year for Kerry Lee. Disappointed at Haydock last time, but something was clearly amiss and was pulled up. But, you know, is still unexposed, a point-to-point winner, stays this trip well, likes the ground, and they're right at 18-1. I wouldn't put you off a few quid each well on Kerry Hill. As I said, it's an interesting little race, but Crambo's the one they've got to catch. We are price-boosting Crambo, but Kerry Hill, for me, at a bit of a price.
Right, so we are going to head north to Doncaster next. So we've got some strong fancies, including a 15-2 shot, getting Robbie Wilde excited for the weekend. But first, we'll just take a quick break. Right, we move north to Doncaster, where the ground is good to soft, good in places on the chase, and good to soft, soft on the hurdles course, but with some rain and wind expected over the weekend. And the first race we're going to look at is the 1:30 at Doncaster, the Virgin Bet Everyday Saturday Money Back Handicap Chase. We've not got any prices for this race at the moment, but we'll have a look at it so far. Calico, Robbie, he was second in the race last year. Nelson was fourth. Nelson's improved. How do you assess it? It's a wide open handicap.
Yeah, it is. Nelson's had a brilliant season. He picked up that graduation chase at Carlisle, and then he's gone and beat Matata, who's considered a bit of a champion chase dark horse by many people. But just on the collateral form, I mean, he's not the only horse who's been Matata this season, because Calico did two starts back at the October meeting. He's really good, fresh Calico. He won that first time out. He won the same race first time out the previous season, I believe. And he's off a 69-day break. I mean, you'd have thought Dan Skelton's aimed him at this. He was obviously second in it last season. Been trained slightly differently. Before last season, he ran at Cheltenham about a month before. I like the fact that he's been kept fresh for it. And he's off the same mark as last season with Harry Skelton taking over from Kristen Durrell. So, I think he's a nice price. We know the track suits. And it's just Skelton's such a good target trainer. And you just assume this has been it, all about it for Calico.
Yeah. Tom, where are you looking?
Yeah, Calico's interesting. I've kind of had him on my radar for the Grand Annual, just given how strong his Cheltenham form is. And I agree with exactly what Robbie said. Skelton's a brilliant target trainer. I have a question mark whether this is his preference over Cheltenham, just given how well he ran there earlier in the season. And that is my only, if Calico is absolutely tuned up to his max, I think he'll take some beating here, because he is a very good horse and he is good fresh as well. I'm going to take a chance that he isn't. I quite like Nell's son here. Improved no end. He's a 10-year-old, obviously, so he shouldn't really be improving, but he definitely is. And his two wins this season have been pretty solid form, like beating Unexpected Party by a length. He went in front of form by running some decent races up in company. And then he obviously beat Matata by a neck at Kelso last time. Probably flatters him a little bit. Obviously, Matata has kind of proven that he's a lot better than what he was that day. But I think Nelson's rock solid. He rarely runs a bad race. And yeah, I think he's definitely the one they have to beat here.
Yeah, can't have to say. I was at Windsor on Sunday, and Matata could not be impressed by what he put up there. It was a proper performance. And yeah, Champion Chase going to be next for him, I think, and would be interesting at any fair price. And great, great shout on Calico for the Grand Down. You hadn't clocked that one myself, but Tom Park, aware of all things Cheltenham, of course. Brett, what do you like in this one?
Yeah, this is quite tricky, isn't it? This 2 mile handicap chase. We will be best industry price all runners, so you're going to get best value with Unibet. Nelson was placed in this race last year. He's got top weight on this occasion. He was fourth last year off 1.35. He's 1.49 now, so he has really got to pull something more out of the fire. A horse at the other end of the spectrum is Herbier's. I think he's got a real good chance here under Toby Wynn. The yard had been in winning form this week already. He was actually ended up at Cheltenham as well, so the fact that Connections have decided to go to Doncaster, that could be a bit of a tip in itself. He was second in a real good novice chase off 1.38 about a year ago. He's now rated 1.28, so £10 lower than what would be arguably a career best a couple of seasons ago. And I just think sort of towards the bottom end of the handicap, the race might be run to suit him. I think Herbier's could be one to side with in a race, as I said, where we will be best industry price.
So the second race at Doncaster we'll look at is the 2.05. This is the River Dom Novices Hurdle, a grade two. And once again, we've got another one. 2023 Albert Bartlett winner, Stay Away Faye was second here, went on to win. And perhaps Western Knight will prove a live outsider for that race this year. Currently, he's 66-1 with Unibet. I don't think that's the worst bet in the world. The Tizzards, of course, won the race with Kilbrick and Storm. Western Knight is your 2-1 favourite on Saturday. Marchand 2, 3-1 for Emma Lavelle. We know what she can do with staying hurdlers, of course, courtesy of Paisley Park. Moon Rocket at 7-2. Jigs Forge is at 6. Gamester's Guy at 7s. A Yellow Car at 18-1. Tom, we'll start with you. Is this going to have any bearing on the Albert Bartlett, or am I just talking rubbish?
I would be surprised. But the Albert Bartlett is a funny race and it produces funny results. So I'd be surprised if one of these is good enough, but, you know, as you pointed out, Stay Away Faye was beaten in this race a couple of years ago and went on to win that race. So it's got a bit of pedigree with points of Cheltenham. This doesn't look the strongest of renewals. I'm going to side with Marchand 2. Is that how you pronounce that? Of Emma Lavelle's. I've been quite impressed with how he's gone about his business this season. It's just beaten at Wincanton in a maiden hurdle over trip, probably far too short. And he's just got better as he stepped up in trip. The form of his Windsor run last time, he beat XLO, who, although hasn't franked the form since, is a decent yardstick. And yeah, it's not a race that I have an overly strong opinion on, but I thought Marchand 2 was probably the pick of the bets here.
Yeah, just another thing on Western. I'll tell you what, he will be some chaser as well. He's certainly got the model of it. So I'm strong on him, but Marchand 2 for Tom. Robbie?
Yeah, I'm interested in Gamester's Guy. I backed him at the start of the week, but the bad news is this is his second preference. He's the preferred option is to face Potter's Charm at Cheltenham. I don't really see why they're doing that. He's not going to beat him, but he'd have a right chance here. I mean, I'm not giving up the ticket just yet, but I'll just explain the case, really. I mean, he has got some speed about him. He should have beaten Navajo Indy, the Jerry Fielding winner, on his hurling debut at Bangor after showing plenty of promising bumpers. And then he's come out and won a Carlisle novice, eating up the ground over 2.5 on soft ground, stiff track by miles. He's trained by a very good up-and-coming operation in Oliver Green and Josh Guerrero. I think he's a good horse. And if somehow he does turn up here, I expect him to go off an awful lot shorter than 8-1. You'd have to worry about the non-runner element to it now because, well, you get your money back, obviously, if he doesn't run. I think he's got as much potential as anything in this field, and I'm keeping the faith, but he'll probably turn up at Cheltenham. So I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, it could be a decent price at 7-1, particularly as you mentioned, with the betting terms you're getting now. Finally, we'll come to you, Brett. What do you like here?
Again, another really good contest. It's actually been won by some decent horses down the years. Obviously, a race that produces high-class staying chasers. Notably, I think Neptune Colon's actually won this race, and Barton as well won it. So it has got quite an illustrious roll of honour. We are actually price boosting the favourite in this race. But I like Moon Rocket here. For Kim Bailey, 7-2 at the moment, 33-1 to win the Albert Bartlett. He's a point-to-point winner. He was very impressive when he stepped up to 3 miles for the first time at Southall last time. Previously to that, he was a winner over 2.5 at Doncaster, where he actually beat a horse of Rebecca Curtis's called Newton Tornado, who went out and finished second behind Diva Luna at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. So that's pretty strong form. As I said, he was very impressive last time at Southall on his first run over this trip. So for me, Moon Rocket at 7-2 is the one to side with in the 205 at Donny.
On to the 240 at Doncaster. This is the Virgin Bet Yorkshire Rose Mare's Hurdle at the Grade 2, where Katira is at the top of the betting here, the Dan Skeltons. Dan Skelton team looking to continue their good record. And for Harry Skelton, of course, any winner is very, very important with that David Power Jockey's Cup in the back of his mind, of course. Well, he's 6-4 to win this race with Katira. Jetara, first ride for James Bowen, for Jessica Harrington, 9-4. Why Not at 3-1. Della Casalunga at 15-2. Bina Rouge at 25s. And Salsada at 28. Katira is strong in the betting, Robbie. Does she win?
Yeah, I think so, James. She's certainly got the best recent form. She was obviously fifth in the long walk against the boys. She was another one of those who was sort of caught a bit further back than ideal, given the race was run. This is obviously a massively weaker race. To be honest, I'd have probably backed her if she was facing Cranbar, getting £7 in the Cleeve. But she's turned up here against inferior mares. The only one I'd slightly worry about is Jetara if she bounces back. She's not been herself the last couple of starts. She was actually sent off a shorter price and home by the Lee a couple of starts ago for the Lismullen Hurdle at Navan. It's interesting that Jess Carrington making the journey over. She doesn't send too many over here nowadays. But you would have thought Katira would take an awful lot of stopping it.
Tom, agreed?
Yeah, I think Katira will take a lot of beating here. I think her form last season at Aintree, it's pretty exceptional, beating Django Bear so comfortably. I think she needed a first start this time at this season, but she's improved on that. And yeah, I thought that was a perfectly good run in the long walk last time. I think she's a great bet here, actually. You're getting 13-8, big price. I think she's comfortably the best of these.
Confidence all round from the boys. Brett, do you agree with the lads?
Obviously, much of the attention here is going to be on Katira for the Dan and Harry Skelton team. She's done nothing wrong, has she? She's a very, very high-class horse. She's clear on ratings, and she definitely sets the standard. My only reservation about her, if you look at her form figures, I think she's ran over 3 miles 3 times. She's been beaten on every single occasion. She tends to travel very well, and just the last sort of furlong or so, she tends to tire when she steps up to this distance. So I'm not entirely sure that a slog over 3 miles on soft ground will really suit her, albeit she is definitely the class horse in the race. Similar sort of scenario applies to Jatara, Jessica Harrington's runner. She's got some real smart form, but does she quite get this trip on soft ground? Which brings me to Why Not. She's probably not quite, well, she's not as good as Katira and Jatara, but she does love soft ground. She does stay. She wears her heart on her sleeve. She goes off out in front, and she won a nice listed race over course and distance last time. You know, she's going to be a decent sort of price, but I think she'll just try and take the sting out of the likes of Katira and Jatara if they make the running with her. And I think she's not a bad selection. We are price boosting the favourite in that race, but as I said, I think Why Not, for the inform and Henry Daly Yard, could be one to side with in that really interesting mares race.
Right, the final race we'll be looking at from Doncaster. Perhaps it's the best betting race of the entire day. This is the Virgin Bet Great Yorkshire Handicap Chase. A 5-1 favourite. We've got 17 runners. This is proper jumps stuff at its very best. And the favourite is The Changing Man at 5-1. Last year's second, Forward Plan, only beaten the nose at sixes. Tighten Our Belts and Hidalgo Bue 15-2. Snipe 10-1. Frail Bremere at 11-1. A proper race this one, Robbie. What do you like?
Yeah, I like this race. I'd be all over the Changing Man if I wasn't really worried that he's now had two very hard races. I thought Ascot, he was even better than he was at Newcastle when he was just beaten by Ferro Bamboo. He was right up there with a very strong pace. The others who were up there were completely faded, and he only got beaten late by Victorino, who was looked a very well handicapped horse in his Coral Gold Cup run. I just worry that it's probably quick enough after the Ascot race. It's hard to run three big races and big staying handicaps in the space of, what, 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks? It's tough. So the one I've turned to is Hidalgo Bue. I think he's interesting. He was sent off favourite for the Grand Sefton on his very... I couldn't believe the price he went off. He didn't really have the form to go off 7-2 for a Grand Sefton first time out. Didn't run his race, really. I can forgive anyone a bad run over the Aintree National Fence the first time out. And then I thought he showed a little bit more Haydock last time. That was a much lesser race than this, but it was over 2.5 miles on soft ground. It gave the impression he would be interesting back over further. That race had worked out pretty well, actually. The second, the Fly Begley, came out and beat Nocte Volatus in the Unibet-sponsored Veterans Middle Distance race last week. And Natana, the winner, has come out and run really well since, too. Hidalgo Bue, you've got to respect the sort of strength in the market for that Grand Sefton. I don't think this is an amazing Great Yorkshire chase. And I think it's going to pop up in one of these sooner or later. He's only 7, staying chaser in the making. I think he's on a decent mark, and perhaps it'll be the down Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can see the case for him. He's a horse I've always thought would land a big pot. And this might just be his track and his trip. So, yeah, can certainly see the case. Parky, Tom, I'm a big fan of the Changing Man. Robbie's made some really interesting comments. But I'm also a little bit worried he's going to join our friends Mr. Coffee in the sort of second club. Seems to be going that way, doesn't it, this season?
Yeah, I really like his chances here. I'm happy to forgive him the run at Ascot against Victorino. I think he was beaten by a really, really well handicapped horse on the day, and they pulled a long way clear of the rest. And he absolutely should have won at Newcastle the start before. Whether that is down to his attitude, I think we've got to just give him another go. And look, he's progressing really quickly. I think £2 for that run at Ascot last time is absolutely fair enough from the handicapper. I think he's entitled to go up an awful lot more for that, to be honest. I think that's really solid form of Victorino. So, yeah, I really like the Changing Man's chances, and I'd be very disappointed if he got beat here.
Black and white colours, owned by a Geordie, Parky. You're a Sunderland fan. Feel like you're selling your soul out on the podcast to give us a winner.
We'll be colourblind this weekend. Yeah,
well, a winner's a winner. You have to do what you can.
Well, Unibet are paying 5 places in this race, James, so that does make it a little bit easier if you're looking to try and find a winner or something to finish in the money. This is going to be a real war of attrition. It's going to be very hard work, and there's no doubt they're going to be finishing tired. Sign the Mine is obviously an interesting one for Fiona Needham. It's probably just got to brush up its jumping a little bit, but has got some strong form, of course. Won the Fox Hunters at Chowton, and that's solid enough. And I thought we'll stand on OK in the role of Merrick at Weatherby last time when falling 2 out. I think Connections have got a shrewd jockey book in there in Brian Hughes. That's obviously got to be significant. As I said, if this horse can just jump round and, you know, get into a nice rhythm, you can certainly make a case for Sign the Mind. But I like Sure Touch here. Loves heavy ground. It's actually out of Libertine. You know, she was a real smart sort for Nicky Henderson. I just think he's quite interesting. He's had 3 runs over this trip. He's finished 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So he is unexposed over this distance. He's well handicapped as well, I think anyway. Won the summer plate off 137. He's only £2 higher today. And of course, they've got James Bowen on board, which is you know, good enough for me. So as I said, in a race where we're paying 5 places each way, Sure Touch gets the nod for me.
We will hopefully have a few winners after the break, where we'll have a few more Cheltenham Festival clues around Britain and Ireland this weekend, as well as those all important apps. But first, quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? with an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Right, so before we get stuck into the boys' best bets, let's have a look at what's happening away from the ITV cameras. And Tom, we've got a really fascinating Cheltenham of Hope in one of the other races on the card.
Yeah, really like Potter's Charm, James. Runs in the 410, the last race at Cheltenham on Saturday. Can't wait to see him. I think I put him up in a piece this morning, actually, for the festival. I just really like the way this horse goes about his business. Thought he got away with running over 2 miles last time at Aintree, but I thought it was professional the way that he got the job done in the end. And I like that in a horse. This is his trip, 2.5 miles. This is his track. And yeah, I think he's got the talent to really serve it up to the new lion, who's been brilliant himself this season. And whether the Irish have got, historically, they've always had something for this race. So what they've got, but I think we're yet to see a novice hurdler better than these two, Potter's Charm and the new lion. So big day for Potter's Charm. He was a bit workmanlike at Aintree last time, but as I said, I think that was a lot of it was down to the trip. It was a bit of a muddling race as well. He was professional enough to get the job done. I'd want to see him win impressively. I'm surprised he is as big a price as he is, actually. I've got evens up on my screen at the moment. That surprises me a little bit. I'd be very, very disappointed if he wasn't to win this. And yeah, I think he's got a big chance at the festival. I think he's 7-1 for that Turner's race. I think that's a pretty rock solid each way bet. A big fan of his.
Yeah, could not agree with you more. I love how they campaigned him. Gone around Cheltenham, proven around the track, going back. They're not afraid to run him. It's refreshing to see. Often too often we get a good novice hurler sort of put away and we don't get to see him. But Potts Charm's out. He's got everything he'd like. I'm a big fan and I hope he'll strengthen his credentials for March. Robbie, anything else catch your eye?
Yeah, I think we should pay a very close look at the 12:40 on Saturday, the novice handicap chase. The ITV has switched the races round with the juvenile, but this is one of the most interesting races of the day. Ginny's Destiny won it last year, Stage Star the year before. It froze up. It's often a great line into the festival. You've got Jaguar heading the bet, and he's interesting. Wasn't quite himself. But he was a bit below the form of his last two starts, beaten favourite by Jinko Blue, but he could bounce back. I thought Billy the Real Big Red was interesting. This horse has just been absolutely prolific for Oliver Greenwell, Josh Guerrero. He's going to like the deteriorating ground conditions. He's going to like going back left-handed as well, for sure, after he was sort of jumping out to the left a bit at Exeter. I think he's still on a good mark. And he's one of those horses that is going to need to get up in the weights to get into a Cheltenham handicap. So I could see him going very well in that.
Was 9-1 when I jotted it down. 9-1 into 15-2, Robbie. So someone's clearly been
reading the notes. It's not my money, sadly, but I'd be still very interested in that 15-2, James.
Yep, sure. Let's move on to our best bets. Of course, we touched it on the top of the show. 14-1 winner, Uncle Burr. Alter Belly at 5-1. So the pressure is on to follow it up. Let's start with you, Robbie. What is your best bet this weekend?
Best bet is the 150 at Cheltenham, Ginny's Destiny. Forget the haters. This is still a top-class horse. And I feel like Nichols' horse is a slightly underestimated. He's not been having the best season, but you can't keep a good man down. And I think it's going to be a big day for him on Saturday. Ginny's Destiny.
Ginny's Destiny for Robbie. Brett?
Yeah, I don't think we'll be getting any 14-1 naps this week, James. So I'm going to go for Why Not in that 240. Why not go for Why Not in the 240 at Doncaster? She stays the trip really well. She loves soft ground. The yard are in form. And I think she should go very, very close in what's an intriguing mare's race at 240. But Why Not gets the nod for me.
I am going to go for, no secret, you might have guessed it, Western Night in the 205 at Doncaster. And Tom, are you going to sell your soul for a Geordie?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I like the changing man, James, in the 3:15 at Doncaster.
Yeah, good price as well at 5-1. Thanks very much to our panellists, Tom Park, Robbie Wilders and Brett Williams. Do join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday for another bumper show. It's the Dublin Racing Festival. We've got loads of good domestic action. We'll also be cluing up towards the Cheltenham Festival. So do make sure you join us again next week. As always, though, rate, review, subscribe. Let us know what you fancy and what you think of the show. But until then, enjoy the racing. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.